What would it take to keep you from Jesus? Have you ever considered the question? What if there were laws prohibiting prayer or worship or fellowship with other believers? What if an illness meant that you could not come to him? What would you do? Welcome back to Light of the Word Radio. This broadcast is sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. This week, Pastor Jim brings us a message about hope, about transformation, and about pressing after Jesus, no matter what stands in the way. It's definitely a message for today. So here is Pastor Jim.
If you found Luke chapter 5 and verse 12, let's begin. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But now even more the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to a desolate place and pray. Oh, Father, Lord, we too come to you in prayer. I pray, Father, for those who are here today and those who hear this through any medium, Lord, that they would see themselves in this leper, that they would see the need that this leper had that you took care of, and may they see the need that they have that only you can take care of. I pray, Father, that you would speak through me to these that you have gathered. I thank you, Lord, that though I am a sinner, you have chosen to use me. To you be all the glory. In Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen. Say, there's a man who gets married. He gets married in his mid to late 20s. He and his wife have a couple of kids, maybe a boy and a girl. And they buy a piece of land, and they're saving their money, and they have enough money now to begin building their house, and they begin building a house for their family. At this point, maybe he's in his early 30s, and he gets sick one day. And he's not really sick. He just has this infection on his hand. He watches it, and it gets worse. He puts what medications he can think of on the wound, but it continues to get worse. And finally, someone said, "Well, you need to go see this man who knows about these kind of skin conditions." So he gets an appointment, and he goes, and he sees the man. And the man says, "I'm pretty sure of what this is, but to be sure, you're going to have to spend 2 weeks here in quarantine." Well, if it helps things, he needs to know what it is. So he spends the 2 weeks in quarantine, and his hand continues to get worse. In fact, his whole hand now is the sore. And there's white all through it, kind of a scaly look. At the end of the first week, the man that he goes to see says, I don't have to have you stay any longer. It is leprosy. You'll have to go away to a place where you're away from people who do not have it. The man says, "Well, can I at least go and say goodbye to my family?" "No, you cannot. You won't be able to come into town. You'll have to leave immediately. In fact, you'll have to warn people that come up to you who you are and that you are unclean with this disease." And the man is kicked out of the city. His wife and kids find out what has happened, though they, by the law, cannot go and spend time with him. They take him food each day, and they leave it in a certain place. And he goes after they have gone, and he picks up the food. But he gets to a point where he doesn't want them to come and do this anymore. Not because he doesn't want to see them, but because he has become so hideous looking. What was once a spot on his hand that had grown to his hand now is all over his body. He'd had a couple of his fingers fall off. His ear, one of his ears had fallen off. And he did not want his family to see him. That is kind of the picture of what the life was for a leper in these days. And leprosy goes way back. We have seen leprosy in the scriptures way back. There is scientific evidence of leprosy within Egypt that has been taken from the tombs. So leprosy is this horrible disease that goes way back, centuries and centuries. And yet, this man, on this day in the scriptures, has leprosy, and he has been cast out. We don't know if he actually had a family. We don't know how old he was, but it could have been any person who came down with this leprosy. Any family person, any child, any mother, any father, and he was cast out. He could not go inside of a walled city such as Jerusalem. He would not be allowed inside. There was certain rules given for a leper to come to the temple. There was a isolated place that they could go to in the temple, but they weren't allowed to be around anybody. And as I've shared many times, as we talked about lepers over the years, one of the laws, one of the rules of leprosy is that they would have to begin to warn somebody as soon as they saw someone coming towards them. They would have to wave their hand and say, "Unclean, unclean." The lepers were expected to wear rags so that they could be recognized by their clothing. Not a very pleasant picture, is it? This was a few years ago, I was reading a book about leprosy, and it was saying how someone who has leprosy could have a numbness that takes over their whole body. And it would be possible for them to cut their fingers off and not even know it, except for to see it happen, but not feel it. It would be possible, especially in these days, they had to stay out in the wilderness. They couldn't be in a community. So if a leper was sleeping near a fire and because of being cold, and he would roll over, maybe his feet got to the fire, he could actually burn his feet off and never know what happened until he woke up because of the numbness that comes with the leprosy. The original word for leper is a word that really means it's scaly. It's a scaly part of the in the skin that just begins to deteriorate the skin. I read about one man whose nose fell off. Ears would fall off. Not a very pretty picture, is it? When you got to a certain point in leprosy, you gave up hope. You gave up hope because at that point when the leprosy had begun to spread, there was no known cure like there is today. Many thought that the leprosy was even worse than death. Anyone who thought that to be right had to know and be saved, because otherwise hell is even worse than leprosy. So make no mistake. But this man had been hearing about Jesus. The word about Jesus had been going everywhere. People were bringing the sick in, the lame, the demon-possessed. We've gone through a number of stories about that already in the first four chapters of Luke. And now as we come here, it says, while he was in one of the cities of Galilee, because we know he was ministering at this time in the area of Galilee. So one of the cities in Galilee, but it's not mentioned. In fact, we see this same account in Matthew 8 and in Mark 1, and neither of them said what city it was either. Reason? I don't know. I'm sure there is a reason. I don't know what that is. But in this unnamed city where Jesus was ministering, it says, there came a man full of leprosy. Remember who is writing this? Luke the physician. Luke the physician would have known about leprosy. Luke would have known that there is that beginning stage of leprosy, like the man I was talking about earlier with a spot. He would have known that it would progress. And as it progresses, it would take over the entire body to be a advanced stage of leprosy. And as Luke puts it, full, covered, advanced leprosy. A couple things to take note just in the first part of this sentence. While Jesus was in this unnamed city, the man full of leprosy came to him. There came a man full of leprosy. That was against the law. That was against the law, the Levitical law. Even in Leviticus 14 and other chapters of Leviticus, we see them talking about the lepers and the rules of the leper. And he could not legally go into the town. And he could not approach anyone who did not have leprosy. So he was breaking the law. Can you guess what the punishment written in the scriptures is for him doing this? Anybody? It's a fairly common punishment. Stoned to death. That was the punishment. That was the consequence of going up to somebody in the city for this leper. He must have really been hearing a lot about Jesus, don't you think? I mean, he had to have really been hearing a lot as the word was going out to have risked being stoned to death. Now some say that would have been mercy on him to be stoned to death. Maybe. But he was breaking the law and he was risking his life. And by the way, nobody dies of leprosy. It's usually an infection or some secondary thing that causes it. It's not the leprosy itself. But the leprosy causes some of these other things to happen. And when he saw Jesus, it says, he fell on his face and begged him. He went looking for Jesus. Word of mouth, the grapevine, was so good that even the lepers heard of what was going on. And they had heard how Jesus had been in the temple, in the synagogue, and cast out the demon out of the man. They had heard how Jesus had gone to Peter's house, to Simon's house, and healed his mother-in-law, and how that night people were bringing the sick in for wherever they could come to get there, and Jesus was healing them all. He had heard all this. He had heard how Jesus had been on the seaside. He had heard about the great catch. He had heard about all the things that Jesus had been doing. And he knew in his advanced stage of leprosy that if this man is God, he is my only chance. Now, why do I say he thought that this man was God? I'll give you a couple of reasons. One, he falls on his face. The word used here is a word about worshiping. It is a posture of worship and worshiping God. And then it says that he begged him or implored him, and he called him Lord. The word Lord here could mean sir, but put together with the type of falling to his face of worship in front of Christ, most solid theological scholars believe that this man actually knew that Jesus was God the Son. And he knew that this man was his only hope, this Jesus, this God, if that's who he is. And he believed with everything. Some say, oh, well, he didn't have a lot to put into it. It was still everything, right? Some have more than others. And in fact, those who have more have a harder time putting it all in for Christ than those who have less. But he falls to his face and begs him. Look at this humility. Look at how humble he is before God. First, he's on his face. He's begging him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. The question wasn't whether Jesus could, but do you will to do it? That was the thinking of this man. It wasn't about his ability. It was about his desire, the desire of Jesus, God the Son. He lays himself out. You can make me clean. Notice this is such a humble. He isn't demanding anything of Christ. You know, there are places in third world countries where we still have a large number of lepers who have no access to the kinds of medicine we have in America that to cure that. If you were to go to one of these countries that has that, and you were on a tour, and your tour guide would take you to a marketplace or a square where the lepers were begging, chances are these lepers will come up and begin to touch you, asking for money. And the only way you can stop them is to give them money to go away. But the tour guide would tell you that the true fact of the matter of leprosy is, not only in most of the world, it's curable, but also 95% of the world, or the world's population, is immune to it, cannot get it. So they would try to calm those tourists who were being mauled by the lepers for a donation. That's how fearful it was. I kind of get this picture in my mind of Jesus. Now, remember, we just finished him calling Peter and Andrew and James and John. They're in tow. They're following him. They're listening. He's teaching. I can just picture these four men and whoever else might have been with them filled with fear to be that close to a leper. The rabbis taught that if you were upwind from a leper, you'd never want to get closer than 6 feet. That sound familiar? If you were downwind, you would want to be at least 150 feet away from a leper. So imagine these four fishermen with Jesus and this leper quickly. I picture him quickly coming up. I don't think he was going slowly. I think he went as fast as his leprous body would allow him to go, right in front of Jesus and falls down. Imagine the fear in those four men. How close was he? He was close enough that Jesus could reach out and touch him, because Jesus does here in just a moment. They say on those tours, sometimes the reason that the guides take people to those places where those lepers are is the tour guides get a kick out of the reaction of the tourist to having a leper come up and touch them. That may be true and that may not be. It may be some of them and not others. I don't know. But there is now and was then a great fear. I mean, think of the fear that we have that somebody might get too close to us with coronavirus, right? I think it's let up a little bit, but maybe not a lot. And people would actually have fear in their eyes to see me without a mask. Imagine the fear of this disease that is believed, and at that time was far more contagious. It's our natural herd immunity. We've heard that term over the last couple of years. That has gotten to the point where 95% of the people are immune to it. They had to be fearful. And I can even picture them doubting, why would Jesus not be backing off? Doesn't he know? I mean, come on, as we look through the scriptures, there was more than once, especially Peter, tried to tell Jesus how to do things, right? So I picture the followers backing off, but not Jesus. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. I want to stop this for just a second, and I want to look at something that's kind of parallel at this point. When we are in sin, sin affects all of us, doesn't it? All of our body. Sin affects everything about us. It affects our conversations. It affects our desires. It affects our whereabouts even. And it affects who we are around. It affects our want and dislike for the Word of God. In fact, it causes us to not have a desire for God's Word, but to be repelled by God's Word. When we are in sin, especially when we live in sin, we know it. And I'm here to tell you that even the lost know it when they are in sin, don't they? They know something isn't quite right. They know it. I think of a man who keeps telling me, Pastor Jim, you just don't know what I've done. And I hear that to sound like he's full of leprosy. He's full of sin. And I tell him, with Jesus, first off, he already knows. And with Jesus, it doesn't matter. Repent. Turn away from your sin. I see such a parallel to this leprosy and sin. Because the fact of the matter is, at that point in that disease, There was one hope for that man, and that one hope was Jesus Christ. Today, in our sin, there is one hope, and that one hope is Jesus Christ. That it be His will, let me say it again, His will to cleanse us, to save us. He doesn't owe it to us. He owed this leper nothing. In fact, if Jesus would have backed away and said, you're breaking the law, that story would have never even made the scripture, and nobody would have thought a second thing about it. But as in Mark's story of this, he points out that Jesus had compassion. In Mark 1, Jesus is compassionate. And when Jesus looked at him in his humility, in his disease, Jesus had compassion. As we've gone through these last couple of years and everything with COVID and the lockdowns that we have had, people in nursing homes, many people in nursing homes, would rather have risked catching the virus and had that human touch with somebody than to have been isolated for so long. That human touch is important, isn't it? But it's against the law to touch a leper in the Levitical law. Who's going to touch him? Jesus. Verse 13 says, and Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. I love Luke's commentary right here. And immediately the leprosy left him. Immediately. Did Jesus have to do it? No. Jesus is a loving and compassionate, kind and graceful, full of grace person in his humanity and in his deity. Jesus, the Son of God, who is God, said, I will be clean. And he reached out and touched him. That touch. I wonder, when I'm reading through this, I wonder how long it had been since anyone touched him. How long had he had the leprosy for it to be to this extent that he was full of it? How long had it been since somebody gave him that human touch? We need that. And Jesus gave that. And immediately the leprosy left him. I want to step away from this again for just a second. And when we, in true humility, humble ourselves and come to the Lord knowing that He can save us, that He can cleanse us from our sin, but He has no responsibility to do that. There's no requirement on Him. We have no hold to force Him to do it. You cannot say that you have served in the church for so long that He owes it to you. He owes no man. But when we come to Him in that condition, because He has opened up the eyes so that we see our sin, because the only way we're going to come to Him in that condition with our sin is because He has opened the eyes for us to see our own sin in light of who He is and understand we have no hope apart from Him. And the humility in coming to Him is part of the repenting, because He has opened the eyes means He has regenerated the heart. You've received a new heart, and you come to Him humbly, and you get before Him, and He cleanses you, not because you have earned it or deserve it, but because He is a compassionate and loving God full of grace. This is where my problem with the Baptist prayer of or sinner's prayer comes in. This is where my problem with that comes in. It's because you're almost demanding that God's going to save you. Because they use it and they say, well, all you got to do is say this and you will be saved. As if it had nothing to do with the will of God. That it was all up to you doing this. Immediately, our sins are washed clean. Immediately, we are a new creation. Immediately, we are heirs with Jesus Christ. Immediately. So Jesus heals him. Imagine, and again, I'm thinking of these followers and the four being afraid of Jesus doing this, but imagine what they are thinking. They've just been called. I mean, that was the 11 verses before their call, right? They've just been called to follow after Jesus, that he's going to make them fishers of men, that they will fish for men. And then this happens, and they see again the power of God in the Son. Now think about what Peter had seen so far. Because Peter was in the synagogue when Jesus cast out the demon. He was in Peter's house when he healed Peter's mother-in-law. It was in Peter's front yard when the people were bringing all these who were sick to him and all those who had demons. Peter's seen all this. And then Peter saw the catch. And now he has seen God, the Son, cleanse the most disgusting, dirtiest person in all of Israel, a leper. And by the way, the parallel to sin goes on, because in the eyes of Christ, somebody who is in their sin and refuses to come out of their sin is dirtier and nastier to him than this leper ever was. That is what sin is like. We talk about those who couldn't walk that are healed and how they jump up and are filled with joy. Imagine what this now means to this man. He gets to be back with his family again. Whether he had a wife and kids or whether it was his parents or whatever it might have been, he gets to be back with family. And if you think family isn't important, try to live without your family for a little while. You'll find out just how important they are. They aren't perfect, okay? But they're important. He gets to be around people again. He gets to have the touch of man. He gets to go to the barbecue restaurant, whatever. He gets to be in civilization. He no longer has to live out there with those lepers, because he's no longer one of them. He's no longer an outcast, though officially he still is, even though he's cleansed. So this is got to be going through his mind, right? Verse 14 says, "And he, Jesus, charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as Moses commanded." For what? For a proof to them.
What a wonderful account of the mercy and the love of God. How precious is the grace of Christ Jesus. His compassion extends to even such as we. And this man had been healed fully and totally. The transforming love of God is so rich and so wonderful that we must always give testimony. The reality of his powerful working in us is so true, so full, so undeniably present that the proof of his touch is always going to be known. Beloved, I beseech you by the mercy that transforms us, do not ever seek to hide the working of Christ. Do not be ashamed to speak the name and profess with humble adoration that powerful working which saved and changed you. We want to thank you for joining us today, and we'd love to hear from you. If you want to hear more of Pastor Jim, you can find him on the web at www.sermonaudio.com. Just search for Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. You can find us on the web at www.lightoftheWordRadio.com, or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We have a thank you gift we'd like to send if you mention it when you call or write. This has been Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. In a moment, Pastor Jim will return with a special word, but first, we want to thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you'll join us next time. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene, and on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks. May God bless you and bless the hearing of His Word.